Well, we continue our study in the doctrine of assurance of grace and salvation, chapter 18 of our 1689 confession. We're almost to the end of the study on assurance. And last Sunday, I was trying to bring to your attention the connection between the Lord's chastening and assurance, and we looked at verses related to that. Today I want to direct your attention to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, if you'll turn over there with me. Lamentations, chapter 3. But let me read to you paragraph 4 once again, this amazing and somewhat difficult paragraph, the last paragraph of chapter 18. True believers may have the assurance of their salvation diverse ways shaken, diminished, and intermitted, as by negligence in preserving of it, by falling into some special sin which woundeth the conscience and grieveth the spirit, by some sudden or vehement temptation, by God's withdrawing the light of His countenance and suffering even such as fear Him to walk in darkness and to have no light. Yet are they never destitute of the seed of God and life, the life of faith, that love of Christ and the brethren, that sincerity of heart and conscience of duty, out of which by the operation of the Spirit this assurance may in due time be revived, and by the which in the meantime they are preserved from utter despair. Last Sunday we talked about the Lord's strengthening assurance. Today we want to talk about assurance being revived. We have seen thus far that assurance of salvation may be shaken in a number of ways. First, by negligence, it says. Second, by falling into some special sin which wounds the conscience and grieves the spirit. Third, by some vehement temptation. And now fourth, I would like to consider with you the experience which is most difficult for any saint when God withdraws the light of His countenance and suffers even such as fear Him to walk in darkness and to have no light. You might say to me, well, how could this be? The Bible clearly says in a number of places that Christ never leaves nor forsakes His saints. How could such as truly fear God walk in darkness and have no light? Well, we should understand the second part of that sentence in our confession is true as well. It says, they are never destitute of the seed of God and life of faith, that love of Christ and the brethren, that sincerity of heart and conscience of duty, out of which, by the operation of the Spirit, this assurance may in due time be revived. In other words, God is faithful never to leave nor to forsake His own. Those who fear Him, they're termed here. Those who He has begun a good work in. And even though He has many things to teach His saints experientially, and particularly about what it means to be godly, about what it means to be holy, He will, for holy and wise purposes, permit them, at times, to walk through dark and difficult paths to accomplish every good purpose which He has towards them. And we need to understand that when God leads His people through these experiences, that His love for them is unfailing. It is sure. It is unwavering. And the salvation of His elect, those whom He loves with an everlasting love, is never in question. But He would have us to learn to walk with Him and to learn from Him in very practical ways what it means to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's God's ultimate purpose, by the way, in our sanctification, to conform us to the image of God's dear Son. In other words, to make us more and more like Him over time and during the course of our life, so that when we die and go to heaven, it won't be quite such a shock to us, honestly. That it won't be quite such a shock to us to understand the great transformation that will take place in our spirit when we are made perfect forever in holiness. Now that really is quite something to think about, isn't it? So the time that I have, I want to take you back to the experience of the prophet Jeremiah. The things that he thought and felt and agonized over, things which shook his assurance, but in the end we find that his assurance was revived and strengthened because he was indeed one of God's true children. I want you to turn with me, if you haven't already, to chapter 3, and we're going to look at this passage in two sections. The first will be verses 1 to 18, and let me read this for you. Prophet Jeremiah says, "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone and made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my roaming, the wormwood and the gall." Now you can see here that Jeremiah lived in the terrible days when God's judgments were coming upon the nation of Israel for their many sins, these sins of idolatry and dishonoring the Lord, these sins of not listening to this prophet and many other prophets, of not repenting of their many sins over a number of generations, had brought them to this place. By the way, sometimes I think that people do not think that this could happen in our own dear country. But brethren, if we do not repent of our many sins and see national revival, which would lead many to repentance, we should not be surprised if heavier judgments come upon our own land, and this may indeed lead to our downfall. God is faithful in justice, just as much as he is good and patient. But God will not let national sins go on forever. He will bring his judgments. And next, we need to see that Jeremiah was a faithful, God-fearing man. Even faithful, God-fearing men may be called to experience and feel the effects of the Lord's judgments upon unbelieving people because they live in the same nation as those people do. Godly people may be brought into an experience of spiritual darkness as a result of not at all being able to sense the Lord's loving kindness, since they are not able to perceive His common grace at work in people's lives, the people around them. As you read the first two chapters of this book of Lamentations, you see that in his prayers that Jeremiah identified himself with the sinful people of the nation in his prophesying. For instance, in chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "The Lord is righteous, for I rebelled against His commandment. Hear now, all peoples, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and young men have gone into captivity." In verse 13 of that same chapter, he says, "From above, He has sent fire into my bones, and it overpowered them. He has spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He has made me desolate and faint all day, all the day." Now, this was the common experience of the godly in those days in Jerusalem, but especially Jeremiah. So by the time we get to chapter 3, we find Jeremiah saying that he was the man who had seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. "He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light." That was his experience. God had aged his flesh and his skin, and had broken the bones of his emotional strength. He pictures God as one who is besieging him. In other words, like he's waging war against him and setting him in dark places like the dead of long ago. Do you recall anywhere else in the Bible where you hear that kind of language? In the book of Job. That's exactly right. Now, what I'm trying to show you here this morning is that the most godly of men, the most holy of men, may sometimes be brought into an experience of darkness in their experience where they don't see God as being for them, even though they know the Lord. That their assurance is shaken. They tremble before God. And they want desperately things to change for them in their experience. Godly men walking in darkness and not knowing the light of the Lord. Jeremiah was a faithful, God-fearing man. But I'm saying that even faithful men may be called to experience and feel the effects of the Lord's judgment upon unbelieving people because they live in the same nation with them. Godly people may be brought into an experience of spiritual darkness as a result of not being able to sense the Lord's loving kindness. So, by the time we get to chapter 3, we find that he's saying that he's the man who had seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He wants God to deliver him from this experience. And you would say to me here, "Deliver me from ever having this kind of an experience." And I would agree with you. I would want no one to go through this kind of experience. I pray that none of us has to go through an experience like this. His words in verses 10 to 12 of chapter 3 show us that in his experience that God had been to him as a bear lying in wait. Now, these kind of word pictures are just not, they're not usual. They're not the kind of thing that you find in the Word of God. A bear lying in wait gives you a very bad feeling if you've ever heard about a bear tearing somebody up. But that's what Jeremiah was experiencing, like a lion, it says here, waiting in ambush. In his experience, he felt as though he was being torn in pieces. And he uses many such descriptions as this in verses 13 to 16, which I won't go over. And then in verses 17 and 18, he says, "You have moved my soul far from peace." This is what I want you to take notice of. "I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord." Now that is a man whose assurance has been shaken when he says that kind of a thing. And I'm saying it did affect him. It affected his assurance at a number of points. And so he does the right thing. What does he do? In verse 19, he begins praying to the Lord. And he says, "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me." So there you have it. The shaking of his assurance, even the chastening of the Lord, we can say that. And the prophet is experiencing the withdrawing of the light of God's countenance from him and suffering him to walk in darkness and have no light for a time. But we cannot stop here. We cannot. We must consider the verses that follow, which were meant to bring Jeremiah encouragement, and then through him writing them down and giving them to us for us to have hope and encouragement and to know that God is for us in such situations and to have our assurance not only strengthened but revived if necessary. Follow me in verses 21 and following. "This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to one who strikes him and be full of reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under one's feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the justice due a man before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause. The Lord does not approve. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? Why should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven." Now that's how assurance is revived, my beloved brethren. And in prayer, through prayer, Jeremiah was recalling, and he was reminding himself, and he would remind us, that it is through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions, notice the wording here, notice that his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. His compassions are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. And then we must remind ourselves that the Lord Himself is our portion. Now let me ask you, if you do this, do you remind yourself that the Lord is your portion? Friends may fail you, foes assail you, but He, my strength, my victory is. He's my portion. He's my inheritance. He is my rock. He is my deliverer. And so it says here, it's good to hope in Him. Hope in Him continually. To wait for Him quietly. To wait for Him to act on your behalf and to bring deliverance and salvation from all that has come upon you. It's good to do this. It's saying here, Jeremiah is saying here, and he would know, if anybody would know. It's good to bear this kind of a yoke, it says here, even if we're a young person. You say, well, I don't think I can do this because I'm so young. I can't bear this kind of teaching. It's just too much for me. But Jeremiah says, if we give our cheek to be smited by a righteous rebuke and we are full of reproach, and if we put our mouth in the dust, we need to remind ourselves that there may yet be hope. Remember His promise to His people. The Lord will not cast off forever. For though He caused grief, yet He will show compassion. Oh, this is just precious. According to the multitude of His mercies, do you bear this in mind and recall it to your heart, that God has laid up for you, dear Christian, a multitude of mercies, a multitude of them. Not just a few, but a multitude of them. Many, many, many mercies. And is it not a strengthening, reviving thought that with the Lord, that He will bestow these, a multitude of mercies, upon each one of His people? And last, remember that the Lord does not afflict willingly, that is to grieve us. Sometimes we can become very sad, can't we? Over the various disappointments in our lives, the things that we don't see happen, either in our own life or in the lives of people around us. Dearly beloved brethren, remember that the Lord does not afflict willingly. That is to grieve His people. He doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. He doesn't. Our Heavenly Father does not want to see His children grieved and sad. To see His people being crushed, it says here, or subverted in their cause. Of this the Lord does not approve. If there have been sins, let us confess them and forsake them. And let us remember that He is well able to deliver our lives from all distress and place us before His presence with great joy. Well, let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank You for this portion in the confession and this portion that we have attempted to set forth in Lamentations. We think of how it must have been for dear Jeremiah in those days, seeing the calamity that had come to Jerusalem, seeing people who would pray and come to him and ask him to tell them your will for their lives, and then when he told it to them, they wouldn't receive it. They wouldn't believe it. And they went down into Egypt, and there they died. And Father, we pray that we would be those that no matter what circumstances that we pass through in our lives, whatever calamities might come upon us, that we would know the reality of these verses that we have just studied here in our lives, that we would hope continually, that we would realize that Your loving kindnesses are everlasting, that Your truth endures to all generations, that You Yourself will come and minister to us. You will not leave us nor forsake us, even though we might feel as though we're walking in darkness and not in light. Oh, dear Lord, we pray that You will come now and lift us up and help us to rejoice in all this good truth that You've given to us. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.